Hello, everyone, and welcome to what is really the first podcast in the series Legends of Surgery. My name is Tyler Rouse, and I'm very excited to get underway as we explore the people and events that have led to current surgical practice. Please take a moment to listen to the first podcast, where I expand on the goals and scope of the series, but I want to begin in the first few episodes looking at what are basic but surprisingly modern principles of surgery, anesthesia, and aseptic technique. All right, let's get to it. I thought a good place to start would be to cover the site of where many people consider modern surgery to have begun, the Ether Dome. On a personal note, I had the privilege to visit the Ether Dome at the Massachusetts General Hospital in downtown Boston a few years ago. I was in town for the weekend with my wife. We caught a Red Sox playoff game at Fenway Park, the Cathedral of Boston, ate some amazing seafood, including the best lobster roll ever, and visited with friends that live in the area. I dragged my wife to MGH and followed the map I'd printed out to find the fabled location. It was way in the back alleys of the hospital, away from any clinical activity. To my surprise, the place looked deserted, with a sign-in book that hadn't seen anyone in weeks. I was able to walk right in and look and touch the podium, the seats, and chalkboard. There were a few displays to look at too, but the most impressive thing was the glass ceiling that gives the place its name, the Ether Dome. So what happened there? Well, before we get to the events of that fateful day, we should look at the state of anesthesia leading up to it. Prior to the modern era, there was plenty of descriptions from ancient history of attempts at pain relief, including herbal concoctions, alcohol, and opium. In fact, the Sumerians were messing around with opium as far back as the 3rd millennium BCE. However, you get the sense that none of them worked very well, since the essence of a good surgeon was speed. Nitrous oxide was used as an experimental anesthetic gas in the late 1700s and made famous in 1799 by Humphrey Davy, a chemist and inventor who mostly experimented on himself and friends and used it recreationally, so-called laughing gas. To his credit, he made the connection to possible use in surgery, but no one seemed to catch on for many decades. Chloroform, too, was making its way to the operating theaters around the same time as ether. Although it was first prepared in 1831 by a chemist, Dr. Samuel Guthrie, it wasn't until 1847 when Scottish physician Sir James Young Simpson first used it as an anesthetic by dripping the liquid onto a sponge or cloth and holding it to the patient's face that it was first used in surgery. Chloroform became famous in 1853 when it was used by Queen Victoria during the birth of her 8th child, Prince Leopold. However, it didn't catch on like ether due to early reports of fatalities. The difference between the therapeutic dose, the amount needed to be effective, and the fatal dose, which caused depression of the central nervous system, meaning the patient stopped breathing, was too close for anyone but the most experienced physician to administer. Okay, so let's get to the main character in our story. Ether was first experimented with as early as 1525, but by the Victorian era of the 1800s, it was actually a recreational drug. At parties, called ether frolics, people would inhale the fumes and lose motor control, amusing themselves and each other. In fact, this was part of a larger trend at the time of inhaling gases at parties, as both helium and nitrous oxide, as I had mentioned, were used too. So it's the 1800s, people are having surgery without great pain control, other people are having parties with ether, and no one has made the connection. Or have they? Although the events of October 1846 are the so-called first public demonstration of inhaled ether as a surgical anesthetic, it was not truly the first time this had happened, but more on that later. Let's get to the main story. William T.G. Morton, a dentist by training, first used ether to extract a tooth on September 30, 1846. He'd been looking for a better agent than nitrous oxide, which was the current practice of dentists at the time. This event was actually described in a local newspaper leading Boston surgeon Henry Jacob Bigelow, who I might cover in a later podcast, to arrange for the events of that fateful day, October 16, 1846, at the operating theater of the Massachusetts General Hospital. Morton used his inhaled ether to anesthetize Edward Gilbert Abbott. Then Dr. John Collins Warren, the first dean of Harvard Medical School, removed part of a tumor from Mr. Abbott's neck. When Abbott regained consciousness, Warren asked how he felt, and his answer was, quote, "Feels as if my neck's been scratched," end quote. This led to my favorite quote on this. Warren turned to the audience and said, "Gentlemen, this is no humbug." That was not a shout-out to Charles Dickens' Scrooge, but rather a reference to an event the previous year, when Dr. Horace Wells and other dentists gave a demonstration to medical students at MGH on the use of nitrous oxide. Unfortunately, the gas was administered improperly and the patient cried out in pain, leading the students to shout, "Humbug." Anyways, additional surgeries with ether were carried out over the next few months with great success, leading Bigelow to write the paper entitled Insensibility During Surgical Operations Produced by Inhalation, which was published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 1846. The really cool part about this is that the paper is available online, and it's fairly short, so it's worth a read. I'll see if I can link it to the Facebook page and Twitter. During the journal's 200th anniversary in 2012, this paper was voted by readers as the most important article in the New England Journal of Medicine's history. So, what happened to the self-proclaimed inventor of ether as an anesthetic gas, Dr. Morton? Well, he had a patent issued just 1 month after the Ether Dome demonstration, calling his invention Lethion. It was named after the river Lethe in Greek mythology, which expunged painful memories. The medical community condemned the patenting of such a critical medicine as unethical and basically went ahead and used as much of it as they liked without paying any royalties to Morton. He actually applied to Congress for national recompense, valued at $100,000, which I'm guessing was a huge amount of money in 1846. He later even sued the US government, but before you think of him as a villain, there is a good side to report too. In 1862, he joined the Army of the Potomac as a volunteer surgeon and applied ether to over 2,000 wounded soldiers during the Civil War. Morton actually died in a strange manner, too. While riding in a carriage with his wife in New York City, he demanded that it be stopped, and he ran into the lake in Central Park to cool off. Morton's odd behavior was later attributed to a major stroke, and he died soon afterwards. He was 48 years old and deeply in debt. So did Morton deserve the credit and derision as the inventor of ether anesthesia? The truth is, a Georgia surgeon named Crawford Williamson Long actually used ether in 1842, 4 years prior to the events of the Ether Dome, to remove, in a strange coincidence, a neck tumor. The patient's name was Mr. James M. Venable. Apparently, Dr. Crawford continued to use ether, as did his local colleagues, but he didn't get around to publishing an account until December of 1849 in the Southern Medical and Surgical Journal. This was, in fact, the first known use of ether for surgical pain relief. I guess the lesson there is don't procrastinate. Finally, one more interesting fact tied to the Ether Dome. A Boston physician, Oliver Wendell Holmes, was in attendance that day for the first ether demonstration and was the first to suggest the use of the word anesthesia to describe the process of making a patient unconscious in order to free them of surgical pain. He based it on the Greek word anesthesis, meaning insensibility or loss of sensation. So the Ether Dome really was the birthplace of modern anesthesia, without which there would be no modern surgery. Well, now you know the true story behind the Ether Dome and some of the background to its significance. If you're ever in Boston, be sure to visit the dome. And if you can't make it MGH, go to the Boston Public Gardens and see if you can find the Ether Monument, also known as the Good Samaritan, which is the oldest one in the gardens. It's in the northeast corner. There are four inscriptions, but I'll leave you with just one. To commemorate that the inhaling of ether causes insensibility to pain, first proved to the world at the Mass General Hospital in Boston, October AD 1846. Well, that wraps up another episode of Legends of Surgery. I hope you enjoyed it. Please rate the podcast on iTunes and leave a comment there, follow me on Twitter and Instagram, or like us on Facebook. I've put some content related to this episode up there, and I'll be posting some teasers about the next episode, as well as any interesting articles I come across. And it's just a little bit of housekeeping. I'm going to try to get these episodes out so they're released on Friday night, so they have them for the weekend. Anyways, please feel free to send an email to legendsofsurgery@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you about your thoughts on the podcast or ideas for future episodes. Please join us next time, and thanks for listening.